Chapter 24.
The sun had set over the brown hills of Honegger, leaving a lingering hint of red and violet in the clouds above the horizon. Leia watched the fading color from just inside the Duca floor, feeling the all-too-familiar sense of nervous dread that always came when she was about to go into danger and battle. A few more minutes, and she, Chewbacca, and Threepio would be setting out for Nisteo, to free Kabarak and escape, or to die trying. She sighed and walked back into the Duca, wondering dimly where she'd gone wrong on this whole thing. It had seemed so reasonable to come to Honegger, so right somehow, to make such a bold gesture of good faith to the Nogri. Even before leaving Kashyyyk, she'd been convinced that the offer hadn't been entirely her own idea, but instead the subtle guidance of the Force. And perhaps it had been, but not necessarily from the side of the Force she'd assumed. A cool breeze whispered in through the doorway, and Leia shivered. "The Force is strong in my family," Luke had said those words to her on the eve of the Battle of Endor. She hadn't believed it at first, not until long afterward, when his patient training had begun to bring out a hint of those abilities in her. But her father had had that same training, and those same abilities, and yet had ultimately fallen to the dark side. One of the twins kicked. She paused, reaching out to gently touch the two tiny beings within her. And as she did so, fragments of memory flooded in on her. Her mother's face, taut and sad, lifting her from the darkness of the trunk where she'd lain hidden from prying eyes. Unfamiliar faces leaning over her, while her mother spoke to them in a tone that had frightened her and set her crying. Crying again when her mother died, holding tightly to the man she'd learned to call father. Pain and misery and fear. And all of it because of her true father, the man who had renounced the name Anakin Skywalker to call himself Darth Vader. There was a faint shuffling sound from the doorway.
"What is it, 3PO?
Leia asked, turning to face the droid.
"Your Highness, Chewbacca has informed me that you will be leaving here soon. May I assume that I will be accompanying you?"
"Yes, of course," Leia told him. "Whatever happens in Nisteo, I don't think you'll want to be here for the aftermath."
"I quite agree."
The droid hesitated, and Leia could see in his stance that his anxiety hadn't been totally relieved.
"There is, however, something that I really think you should know. One of the decon droids has been acting very strangely."
"Really?" Leia said. "What exactly does this strangeness consist of?"
"He seems far too interested in everything. He has asked a great number of questions, not only about you and Chewbacca, but also about me. I've also seen him moving about the village after he was supposed to be shut down for the night."
"Probably just an improper memory wipe the last time around," Leia said, not really in the mood for a full-blown discussion of droid personality quirks. "I could name one or two other droids who have more curiosity than their original programming intended."
"Your Highness, R2 is a different case altogether."
"I wasn't referring only to R2.
Leia held up a hand to forestall further discussion.
"But I understand your concerns. I'll tell you what. You keep an eye on this droid for me, all right?"
"Of course, Your Highness."
He gave a little bow and shuffled his way back out into the gathering dusk. Leia sighed and looked around her. Her restless wandering around the Duca had brought her to the genealogy wall chart, and for a long minute she gazed at it. There was a deep sense of history present in the carved wood. A sense of history and a quiet but deep family pride. She let her eyes trace the connections between the names, wondering what the Nogri themselves thought and felt as they studied it. Did they see their triumphs and failures both, or merely their triumphs? Both, she decided. The Nogri struck her as a people who didn't deliberately blind themselves to reality.
"Do you see in the wood the end of our family, Lady Vader?"
Leia jumped. "I sometimes wish you people weren't so good at that," she growled as she regained her balance.
"Forgive me."
the Matrax said, perhaps a bit dryly.
I did not mean to startle you.
She gestured at the chart.
Do you see our end there, Lady Vader?
Leia shook her head.
I have no vision of any future, Matrak. Not yours, not even mine. I was just thinking about children, trying to imagine what it's like to try to raise them, wondering how much of their character a family can mold and how much is innate in the children themselves. She hesitated, wondering if the evil in a family's history can be erased or whether it always passes itself on to each new generation.
The Matrak tilted her head slightly, the huge eyes studying Leia's face.
You speak as one newly facing the challenge of child service.
Yes, Leia admitted, her hand caressing her belly. I don't know if Kabarak told you, but I'm carrying my first two children.
And you fear for them?
Leia felt a muscle in her cheek twitch.
With good reason. The Empire wants to take them from me.
The Matrak hissed softly.
Why?
I'm not sure. But the purpose can only be an evil one.
The Matrak dropped her gaze.
I'm sorry, Lady Vader. I would help you if I could.
Leia reached over to touch the Nogri's shoulder.
I know.
The Matrak looked up at the genealogy chart.
I sent all four of my sons into danger, Lady Vader. To the Emperor's battles. It never becomes easier to watch them go forth to war and death.
Leia thought of all her allies and companions who had died in the long war.
I've sent friends to their deaths,
she said quietly.
That was hard enough. I can't imagine sending my children.
Three of them died,
the Matrak continued, almost as if talking to herself.
Far from home, with none but their companions to mourn them. The fourth became a cripple and returned home to live his shortened life in the silent despair of dishonor before death released him.
Leia grimaced. And now, as the cost for helping her, Kabarak was facing both dishonor and death.
The line of thought paused.
Wait a minute. You said all four of your sons went to war? And that all four have since died?
The Matrak nodded.
That is correct.
But then, what about Kabarak? Isn't he also your son?
He is my third son,
the Matrak said, a strange expression on her face.
A son of the son of my first son.
Leia looked at her, a sudden horrible realization flashing through her.
If Kabarak was not her son, but instead her great-grandson, and if the Matrak had personally witnessed the space battle that had brought destruction on Honegger. Matrak, how long has your world been like this? She breathed. How many years?
The Nogri stared at her, clearly sensing the sudden change in mood.
Lady Vader, what have I said?
How many years?
The Matrak twitched away from her.
48 Nogri years,
she said.
In years of the Emperor, 44.
Leia put her hand against the smooth wood of the genealogy chart, her knees suddenly feeling weak with shock.
44 years? Not the 5 or 8 or even 10 that she'd assumed. 44. It didn't happen during the rebellion, she heard herself say. It happened during the Clone Wars.
And suddenly the shock gave way to a wall of blazing white anger.
44 years?
She snarled.
They've held you like this for 44 years?
She spun to face the door.
Chewie!
She called, for the moment not caring who might hear her.
Chewie, get in here!
A hand gripped her shoulder, and she turned back around to find the Matrak gazing at her, an unreadable expression on her alien face.
Lady Vader, You will tell me what is the matter.
44 years, Matrak, is what's the matter, Leia told her.
The fiery heat of her anger was fading, leaving behind an icy resolve.
They've held you in slavery for almost half a century, lying through their teeth to you, cheating you, murdering your sons.
She jabbed a finger down toward the ground beneath their feet.
That is not 44 years worth of decontamination work. And if they aren't just cleaning the dirt...
There was a heavy footstep at the door, and Chewbacca charged in, bowcaster at the ready. He saw Leia, roared a question as his weapon swung to cover the Matrak.
I'm not in danger, Chewie, Leia told him. Just very angry. I need you to get me some more samples from the contaminated area. Not soil this time, some of the colm grass.
She could see the surprise in the Wookiee's face, but he merely growled in acknowledgement and left.
Why do you wish to examine the colm grass?
The Matrak asked.
You said yourself it smelled different than before the rains came,
Leia reminded her.
I think there may be a connection here we've missed.
What connection could there be?
Leia shook her head.
I don't want to say anything more right now, Matrak. Not until I'm sure.
Do you still wish to go to Nisteo?
More than ever, Leia said grimly. But not to hit and run. If Chewie's samples show what I think they will, I'm going to go straight to the Dynasts.
What if they refuse to listen?
Leia took a deep breath.
They can't refuse, she said. You've already lost 3 generations of your sons. You can't afford to lose any more.
For a minute, the Nogri gazed at her in silence.
You speak truth,
she said. She hissed softly between her needle teeth, and with her usual fluid grace, moved toward the door.
I will return within the hour,
she said over her shoulder.
Will you be ready to leave then?
Yes,
Leia nodded.
Where are you going?
The Matrak paused at the door, her dark eyes locking onto Leia's.
You speak truth, Lady Vader. We must listen. I will be back.
The Matrak returned 20 minutes later, 5 minutes ahead of Chewbacca. The Wookiee had collected a double handful of the colm grass from widely scattered sites and retrieved the analysis unit from its hiding place in the decon droid shed. Leia got the unit started on a pair of the ugly brown plants, and they set off for Nisteo. But not alone. To Leia's surprise, a young Nogri female was already seated at the driver's seat of the open-topped landspeeder the Matrak had obtained for them. And as they drove through the village at a brisk walking pace, a dozen more Nogri joined them, striding along both sides of the landspeeder like an honor guard. The Matrak herself walked next to the vehicle, her face unreadable in the dim, reflected light from the instrument panel. Sitting in the back seat next to the analysis unit, Chewbacca fingered his bowcaster and rumbled distrustingly deep in his throat. Behind him, wedged into the luggage compartment at the rear of the vehicle, 3PO was uncharacteristically quiet. They passed through the village into the surrounding cropland, running without lights, the small group of Nogri around them virtually invisible in the cloud-shrouded starlight. The party reached another village, barely distinguishable from the cropland now that its own lights were darkened for the night, and passed through without incident. More cropland, another village, more cropland. Occasionally, Leia caught glimpses of the lights from Nisteo far ahead, and she wondered uneasily whether confronting the Dynasts directly was really the wisest course of action at this point. They ruled with the assistance, or at least the tacit consent, of the Empire. And to accuse them of collaboration with a lie would not sit well with such a proud and honor-driven people. And then, in the northeast sky, the larger of Honegger's 3 moons broke through a thick cloud bank, and with a shock, Leia saw that she and her original escort were no longer alone. All around them was an immense sea of shadowy figures, flowing like a silent tide along the landspeeder's path. Behind her, Chewbacca growled surprise of his own. With his hunter's senses, He had already been aware that the size of their party was increasing with each village they passed through. But even he hadn't grasped the full extent of the recruitment, and wasn't at all certain he liked it. But Leia found some of the tightness in her chest easing as she settled back against the landspeeder's cushions. Whatever happened in Nisteo now, the sheer size of the assemblage would make it impossible for the Dynast to simply arrest her and cover up the fact that she'd ever been there. The Matrak had guaranteed her a chance to speak. The rest would be up to her. They reached the edge of Nisteo just before sunrise to find another crowd of Nogri waiting for them.
"Word has arrived ahead of us,"
the Matrak told Leia as the land speeder and its escort moved toward them.
"They have come to see the daughter of the Lord Vader and to hear her message."
Leia looked at the crowd. "And what is the message you've told them to expect?"
"That the debt of honor to the Empire has been paid in full,"
the Matrak said.
"That you have come to offer a new life for the Nogri people."
Her dark eyes bored into Leia's face in unspoken question. Leia looked in turn over her shoulder at Chewbacca and raised her eyebrows. The Wookiee rumbled an affirmative and tilted the analysis unit up to show her the display. Sometime during their midnight journey, the unit had finally finished its work. And as she read the analysis, Leia felt a fresh stirring of her earlier anger toward the Empire at what they'd done to these people.
"Yes," she told the Matrak, "I can indeed prove that the debt has been paid."
Nearer now to the waiting crowd, she could see in the dusky light that most of the Nogri were females. The relative handful of males she could spot were either the very light gray skin tone of children and young adolescents, or the much darker gray of the elderly. But directly in line with the landspeeder's path were a group of about 10 males with the steely gray color of young adults.
"I see the Dynasts have heard the word too," she said.
"That is our official escort,"
the Matrak said.
"They will accompany us to the Grand Duca, where the Dynasts await you."
The official escort, or guards, or soldiers, Leia wasn't quite sure how to think of them, remained silent as they walked in arrowhead formation in front of the landspeeder. The rest of the crowd was alive with whispered conversation, most of it between the city dwellers and the villagers. What they were saying, Leia didn't know. But wherever her eyes turned, the Nogri fell silent and gazed back in obvious fascination. The city was smaller than Leia had expected, particularly given the limited land area the Nogri had available to them. After only a few minutes, they arrived at the Grand Duca. From its name, Leia had expected it to be simply a larger version of the Duca back in the village. It was certainly larger. But despite the similarity in design, there was a far different sense to this version. Its walls and roof were made of a silver-blue metal instead of wood, with no carvings of any sort on their surfaces. The supporting pillars were black, metal, or worked stone. Leia couldn't tell which. A wide set of black and red marbled steps led up to a gray flagstone entrance terrace outside the double doors. The whole thing seemed cold and remote, very different from the mental picture of the Nogri ethos that she'd built up over the past few days. Fleetingly, she wondered if the Grand Duca had been built not by the Nogri, but by the Empire. At the top of the steps stood a row of 13 middle-aged Nogri males, each wearing an elaborately tooled garment that looked like a cross between a vest and a shawl. Behind them, his arms and legs chained to a pair of upright posts in the middle of the terrace, was Kavarak. Leia gazed past the row of Dynasts at him, a ripple of sympathetic ache running through her. The Matrak had described the mechanics of a Nogri public humiliation to her, but it was only as she looked at him that she began to grasp the full depth of the shame involved in the ritual. Kavarak's face was haggard and pale, and he sagged with fatigue against the chains holding his wrists and upper arms. But his head was upright, his dark eyes alert and watching. The crowd parted to both sides as the landspeeder reached the Duca area, forming a passage for the vehicle to move through. The official escort went up the stairs, forming a line between the crowd and the row of dynasts.
"Remember, we're not here to fight,"
Leia murmured to Chewbacca, and summoning every bit of regal demeanor she could muster, she stepped out of the landspeeder and walked up the stairs. The last rustle of conversation in the crowd behind her vanished as she reached the top.
"I greet you, Dynasts of the Nogri people," she said in a loud voice. "I am Leia Organa Solo, daughter of your Lord Darth Vader, he who came to you in your distress and brought you aid."
She held out the back of her hand toward the Nogri in the center of the line. He gazed at her for a moment without moving. Then, with obvious reluctance, he stepped forward and gingerly sniffed at her hand. He repeated the test twice before straightening up again.
"The Lord Vader is dead," he said. "Our new Lord, the Grand Admiral, has ordered us to bring you to him, Leia Organa Solo. You will come with us to await the preparation of transport."
From the bottom of the steps, Chewbacca growled warningly. Leia quieted him with a gesture and shook her head.
"I have not come here to surrender to your Grand Admiral," she told the Dynast.
"You will do so nonetheless," he said.
He signaled, and two of the guards left their line and moved toward Leia. She stood her ground, again signaling Chewbacca to do the same.
"Do you serve the Empire, then? Or the people of Honegger?"
"All Nogri of honor serve both,"
the Dynast said.
"Indeed,"
Leia said.
"Does serving Honegger now mean sending generation after generation of young men to die in the Empire's wars?"
"You are an alien,"
the Dynast said contemptuously.
"You know nothing about the honor of the Nogri."
He nodded to the guards now standing at Leia's sides.
"Take her into the Dooka."
"Are you then so afraid of the words of a lone alien woman?"
Leia asked, as the Nogri took her arms in a firm grip.
"Or is it that you fear your own power will be diminished by my coming?"
"You will speak no words of discord and poison,"
the Dynast snarled. Chewbacca rumbled again, and Leia could sense him preparing to leap up the stairs to her aid.
"My words are not of discord,"
she said, raising her voice loud enough for the whole crowd to hear.
"My words are of treachery."
There was a sudden stirring from the crowd.
"You will be silent,"
the Dynast insisted,
"or I will have you silenced."
"I will hear her speak,"
the Matrak called from below.
"You will be silent as well,"
the Dynast barked as the crowd murmured approval of the Matrak's demand.
"You have no place or speech here, Matrak of the Clan Kimbar. I have not called the Convocate of the Nogri people."
"Yet the Convocate is here,"
the Matrak countered.
"The Lady Veda has come. We would hear her words."
"Then you will hear them in prison,"
the Dynast gestured, and two more of the official guard left their line, heading purposefully toward the steps. It was, Leia judged, the right moment. Glancing down at her belt, she reached out through the Force with all the power and control she could manage, and her lightsaber leaped from her belt, breaking free from its quick release and jumping up in front of her. Her eyes and mind found the switch, and with a snap hiss, the brilliant green-white blade flashed into existence, carving out a vertical line between her and the line of Dynasts. There was a sound like a hissing gasp from the crowd. The two Nogri who had been moving toward the Matrak froze in mid-stride. And as the gasp vanished into utter silence, Leia knew that she'd finally gotten their complete attention.
"I am not merely the daughter of the Lord Vader," she said, putting an edge of controlled anger into her voice. "I am the Malari Ush, heir to his authority and his power. I have come through many dangers to reveal the treachery that has been done to the Nogri people."
She withdrew as much of her concentration as she could risk from the floating lightsaber to look slowly down the line of Dynasts.
"Will you hear me? Or will you instead choose death?" for a long minute, the silence remained unbroken. Leia listened to the thudding of her heart and the deep hum of the lightsaber, wondering how long she could hold the weapon steady in midair before losing control of it. And then, from halfway down the line to her left, one of the Dynast took a step forward.
"I would hear the words of the Malari Oosh," he said.
The first Dynast spat.
"Do not add your own discord, Erheim," he warned. "You see here only a chance to save the honor of the Clan Kimbar." "Perhaps I seek a chance to save the honor of the Nogri people, Vorkok,"
Erheim retorted.
"I would hear the Malari Oosh speak. Do I stand alone?"
Silently, another Dynast stepped forward to join him. Then another did so, and another, and another, until 9 of the 13 stood with Erheim. Vorkok hissed between his teeth, but stepped back to his place in line.
"The Dynast of Honegger have chosen," he growled. "You may speak."
The two guards released her arms. Leia counted out 2 more seconds before reaching a hand up to take the lightsaber and close it down.
"I will tell the story twice,"
she said, turning to the crowd as she returned the weapon to her belt.
"Once as the Empire has told you, once as it truly is. You may then decide for yourselves whether or not the Nogri debt has been paid. You all know the history of how your world was devastated by the battle in space. How many of the Nogri were killed by the volcanoes and earthquakes and killer seas that followed until a remnant arrived here to this place. How the Lord Darth Vader came to you and offered you aid. How after the falling of the strange-smelling rains, all plants except the colm grass withered and died. How the Empire told you the ground had been poisoned with chemicals from the destroyed ship, and offered machines to clean the soil for you. And you know all too well the price they demanded for those machines."
"Yet the ground is indeed poisoned," one of the Dynast told her. "I and many others have tried through the years to grow food in places where the machines have not been. But the seed was wasted, for nothing would grow."
"Yes," Leia nodded. "But it was not the soil that was poisoned. Or rather, not the soil directly."
She signaled to Chewbacca. Reaching back into the land speeder, he picked up the analyzer unit and one of the colm grass plants and brought them up the steps to her.
"I will now tell you the story that is true,"
Leia said as the Wookiee went back down the steps.
"After the Lord Vader left in his ship, other ships came. They flew far and wide over your world. To any who asked, they probably said they were surveying the land, perhaps searching for other survivors or other habitable places. But that was all a lie. Their true purpose was to seed your world with a new type of plant." She held up the colm grass. "This plant."
"Your truth is dreams,"
the Dynast Vorkok spat.
"Colm grass has grown on Honegger since the beginning of knowledge."
"I didn't say this was colm grass,"
Leia countered.
"It looks like the colm grass you remember, and even smells very much like it. But not exactly. It is in fact a subtle creation of the Empire, sent by the Emperor to poison your world."
The silence of the crowd broke into a buzz of stunned conversation. Leia gave them time, letting her gaze drift around the area as she waited. There must be close to 1,000 Nogri pressed around the Grand Duca, she estimated, and more were still coming into the area. The word about her must be still spreading, she decided, and glanced around to see where they were coming from. And as she looked off to her left, a slight glint of metal caught her eye. Well back from the Grand Duca, half hidden in the long early morning shadows beside another building, was the boxy shape of a decon droid. Leia stared at it, a shiver of sudden horror running through her. A decon droid with unusual curiosity. 3PO had mentioned that, but she'd been too preoccupied at the time to pay any attention to his concerns. But for a decon droid to be in Nisteo,
50 kilometers or more from its designated work area, was far more than just overly developed curiosity. It had to be. She squatted down, mentally berating herself for carelessness. Of course the Grand Admiral wouldn't have just flitted away on the spur of the moment. Not without leaving someone or something to keep an eye on things.
Chewie, over there, to your right, she hissed. Looks like a decon droid, but I think it's an espionage droid.
The Wookiee growled something vicious and started pushing his way through the crowd. But even as the Nogri made way for him, Leia knew he would never make it. Espionage droids weren't brilliant, but they were smart enough to know not to hang around after their cover had been blown. Long before Chewbacca could get over there, it would be off and running. If it had a transmitter, and if there were any Imperial ships within range.
People of Honegger, she shouted over the conversation. I will prove to you right now the truth of what I say. One of the Emperor's decon droids is there.
She pointed to it.
Bring it to me.
The crowd turned to look, and Leia could sense their uncertainty. But before anyone could move, the droid abruptly vanished around the corner of the building it had been skulking beside. A second later, Leia caught a glimpse of it in between two other buildings, scuttling away for all it was worth. It was tactically the worst decision the droid could have made. Running away was as good as admitting guilt, particularly in front of people who had grown up with the things and knew exactly what the normal behavior range of a decon droid was. The crowd roared, and from the rear, perhaps 50 of the older adolescents took off after it. And as they did so, one of the guards on the terrace beside Leia cupped his hand around his mouth and sent a piercing half-scream into the air. Leia jerked away, ears ringing with the sound. The guard screamed again, and this time there was an answer from somewhere in the near distance. The guard switched to a warble that sounded like a complicated medley of bird calls. A short reply, and both fell silent.
He calls the others to the hunt,
the Matrak told Leia. Leia nodded, squeezing her hands into fists as she watched the pursuers disappear around a corner after the droid. If the droid had a transmitter, it would right now be frantically dumping its data. And then suddenly, the pursuers were back in sight, accompanied by a half-dozen adult Nogri males, held aloft like the prize from a hunt, struggling uselessly in their grip, was the droid. Leia took a deep breath.
Bring it here to me, she said as the party approached.
They did so, six of the adolescents lugging it up the stairs and laying it on its back on the terrace. Leia ignited her lightsaber, her eyes searching the droid as she did so for signs of a concealed antenna port. She couldn't see one, but that by itself didn't prove anything. Steeling herself for the worst, she sliced a vertical cut through the droid's outer shell. Two more crosswise cuts, and its internal workings were laid out for all to see. Chewbacca was already kneeling beside the droid as Leia shut down her lightsaber, his huge fingers probing delicately among the maze of tubes and cables and fibers. Near the top of the cavity was a small gray box. He threw a significant look at Leia and pulled it free from its connections. Leia swallowed as he laid it on the ground beside him. She recognized it all right, from long and sometimes bitter experience. The motivator/recorder unit from an Imperial probe droid. But the antenna connector jack was empty. Luck or the Force was still with them. Chewbacca was poking around the lower part of the cavity now. Leia watched as he pulled several cylinders out of the tangle, examined their markings, and returned them to their places. The crowd was starting to murmur again when, with a satisfied murmur of his own, he pulled out a large cylinder and slender needle from near the intake hopper. Gingerly, Leia took the cylinder from him. It shouldn't be dangerous to her, but there was no point in taking chances.
I call on the dynasts to bear witness that this cylinder was indeed taken from inside of this machine, she called to the crowd.
Is this your proof?
Urchaim asked, eyeing the cylinder doubtfully.
It is, Leia nodded.
I have said that these plants are not the Kolmgrass you remember from before the disaster, but I have not said yet what is different about them.
Picking up one of the plants, she held it up for them to see.
The Emperor's scientists took your Kolmgrass and changed it, she told the crowd. They created differences that would breed true between generations. The altered smell you have noticed is caused by a chemical which the stem, roots, and leaves secrete. A chemical which has one purpose only: to inhibit the growth of all other plant life. The machines that the Grand Admiral claims are cleaning the ground are in fact doing nothing but destroying this special comb grass which the Empire planted.
Your truth is again dreams,
Vorkork scoffed.
The droid machines require nearly 2 tens of days to cleanse a single perka of land. My daughters could destroy the comb grass there in one.
Leia smiled grimly.
Perhaps the machines don't require as much time as it appears. Let's find out.
Holding the comb grass out in front of her, she eased a drop of pale liquid from the tip of the needle and touched it to the stem. It was as dramatic a demonstration as she could have hoped for. The drop soaked through the dull brown surface of the plant, and for a handful of seconds, nothing seemed to happen. There was a faint sizzling sound, and then, without warning, the plant suddenly began to turn black and wither. There was a hissing gasp from the crowd as the patch of catalytic destruction spread along the stem towards the leaves and roots. Leia held it up a moment longer, then dropped it on the terrace. There it lay, writhing like a dry branch thrown into a fire, until there was nothing left but a short and unrecognizable filament of wrinkled black. Leia touched it tentatively with the toe of her boot, and it disintegrated into a fine powder. She had expected another outburst of surprise or outrage from the crowd. Their dead silence was in its own way more unnerving than any noise would have been. The Nogri understood the implications of the demonstration all right, and as she looked around at their faces, she knew that she'd won. She put the cylinder down on the terrace beside the destroyed plant and turned to face the dynasts.
I have shown you my proof, she said. You must now decide whether the Nogri debt has been paid.
She looked at Vorkork, and moved by an impulse she couldn't explain, she unhooked her lightsaber from her belt and put it in his hand. Stepping past him, she went over to Kabarak.
I'm sorry, she said softly. I didn't expect for you to have to go through anything like this because of me.
Kabarak opened his mouth in a needle-toothed Nogri smile.
The Empire has long taught us that it is a warrior's pride and duty to face pain for his overlord. Should I do less for the Malhari Oosh of the Lord Vader?
Leia shook her head.
I'm not your overlord, Kabarak, and I never will be. The Nogri are a free people. I came only to try to restore that freedom to you.
And to bring us on your side against the Empire,
Vorkork said caustically from behind her. Leia turned.
That would be my wish, she agreed. But I do not ask it.
Vorkork studied her a moment. Then reluctantly, he handed her lightsaber back to her.
The Dynasts of Hunniker cannot and will not make so important a decision in a single day, he said. There is much to consider, and a full convocate of the Nogri people must be called.
Then call it,
Kabarak urged.
The Malhari Oosh of the Lord Vader is here.
And can the Malhari Oosh protect us from the might of the Empire, should we choose to defy it?
Vorkork countered.
But...
No, Kabarak. He's right,
Leia said.
The Empire would rather kill you all than let you defect or even become neutral.
Have the Nogri forgotten how to fight?
Kabarak scoffed.
And has Kabarak Clan Kimbar forgotten what happened to Hunniker 48 years ago?
Vorkork snapped.
If we defy the Empire now, we would have no option but to leave our world and hide.
And doing that would guarantee the instant slaughter of the commando teams that are out serving the Empire,
Leia pointed up to Kabarak.
Would you have them die without even knowing the reason? There is no honor in that.
You speak wisdom, Lady Vader,
Vorkork said, and for the first time, Leia thought she could detect a trace of grudging respect in his eyes.
True warriors understand the value of patience. You will leave us now.
Yes, Leia nodded. My presence here is still a danger to you. I would ask one favor, that you would allow Kabarak to return me to my ship.
For Kork looked at Kabarak.
Kabarak's family conspired to free him, he said. They succeeded, and he escaped into space. 3 commando teams who were here on leave have followed in pursuit. The entire clan Kimbar would be in disgrace until they yield up the names of those responsible.
Leia nodded. It was as good a story as any. Just be sure to warn the commandos you send to be careful when they make contact with the other teams. If even a hint of this gets back to the Empire, they'll destroy you.
Do not presume to tell warriors that job,
Vorkork retorted. He hesitated.
Can you obtain more of this for us?
He asked, gesturing back at the cylinder.
Yes, Leia said. We'll need to go to Endor first and pick up my ship. Kabarak can accompany me back to Coruscant then, and I'll get him a supply.
The Dynast hesitated.
There is no way to bring it sooner.
A fragment of conversation floated up from Leia's memory. The Matrak mentioning that the window for planting this season's crops was almost closed.
There might be, she said. Kabarak, how much time would we save if we skipped Endor and went directly to Coruscant?
Approximately 4 days, Lady Vader, he said.
Leia nodded. Han would kill her for leaving his beloved Falcon sitting in orbit at Endor like that.
But there was no way around it. All right, she nodded. That's what we'll do then. Don't forget to be careful where you use it, though. You can't risk incoming Imperial ships spotting new cropland.
Do not presume, either, to tell farmers their job,
Vorkork said. But this time there was a touch of dry humor in his voice.
We will eagerly await its arrival.
Then we'd better leave at once,
Leia said. She looked past him to the Matrak and nodded her head in thanks.
Finally, everything was starting to go their way. Despite her earlier doubts, the Force was clearly with her.
Turning back to Kabarak, she ignited her lightsaber and cut him loose from his chains.
Come on, Kabarak, she said. Time to go.